So I want to get into this message. So if you would, I'm going to continue this series about the root system. What is the root cause? What is the root of all things? Let's go to the next slide, Benny, and then we can leave it there. Next one. I'm sorry. Here we go. Where did it start? The root of the problem. Now, I first started on the system of bitterness. The root system of bitterness is the bitter root that spurs off all these other, if you would, fruits. Rejection. And then we spoke on the root of rejection, the root of religious spirit. Now today I want to talk to you about the system that the enemy works in. The root system of poverty is the financial system. The financial system. If you would, get your Bibles and turn to Luke 17. Luke 17, verses 5 through 6. Luke 17, verses 5 through 6. I'm going to read this out of the God's Word translation. And when you have it, say amen. And when you have it, say amen. I hear the same two people. When you have it, say amen. I'm going to make you stand up and do some jumping jacks. Are y'all sleeping? All right. Here we are, Luke 17, verse 5. Then the apostle said to the Lord, "Give us more faith." The Lord said, "If you have faith the size of the mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea,' and it will obey you." Now, if you would, go ahead and turn to Exodus. Exodus. Go left. Just go left. Keep going left in the Bible. Exodus 15 at verse 22 through 27. Exodus 15, 22 through 27 are the King James Version. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And when they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured and against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance. He proved them and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and would give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that your word permeates our very soul and it begins to change our very mindset so that we can put on the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and begin to be moving by your spirit, Lord, which is your ordained way. So, Father, we thank you right now for your word in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I want to take this in the context that the system that the enemy works in is going to keep you bound if we don't recognize where he first came in. Amen. When I said at the very beginning, the first system that I talked about is the bitterness system, the system of the bitter root. And that bitter root came from heaven, which fell. And where do you find that the star that fell? It fell here on earth. Now, that star that we call it to be was actually Satan himself. Now, remember when I said it was wormwood? Remember wormwood? Wormwood meant bitterness. It meant that it was the root that if it was touches the water, it would make all the water bitter. So the very root of roots is bitterness. The enemy thought that Satan could be God himself, and so he tried to be like God, and God cast him and a third of the angels out. Now don't try to count all the angels. There's so many more that you can't even count. So many. Now, but here's the thing that we need to understand. We find that the enemy shows up where next? Come on, let's just read the Bible together. Where it's the first book in the Bible, Genesis. And in Genesis, God creates the heavens and the earth. Yes? Yes. How they used to teach us when we would do cells. Just nod your head yes. You'll see they're going to agree with you. So, now listen. So in Genesis, God has created the heavens and the earth, and he creates all of the beasts, all of the fish, all of the birds. And then out of where does he create man? Hello? Dirt, which is soil. What you need to understand, what the soil represents in Scripture always represents work and economy. The employment, the economy, and life. Now, as we find that the soil was where God reached down, formed man, then what happened next when he formed man? Oh, he breathed into the very soil in which he already created. So who owns or who's the creator of heaven and earth? God. Does he own all of it? If you created it, it's yours. Amen. Oh, hello, somebody. I may have to put this down here because it looks like some of y'all are sleeping on me. Now, so he reaches down to the soil, he gets the soil, and he breathes it into man, and man becomes a living creature. Now, he gets woman, we all know, then he gets woman from the rib, and there we start. Amen? Now, once we get past that, then the next thing you find in Genesis is that he begins to plant trees, does he not? And bushes. And then he tells his creation that came from the soil, he says to them, all of these trees are good for your food, correct? And they are pleasant for you to look at. Read in your Bible, Genesis 3. I want you to read in your Bible for yourself. In Genesis 2, 5 through 8. Genesis 2, 5. I'm going to read this out of the New English Translation. Watch this. Now, there was no shrub of the field had yet grown on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. You see that? No man to cultivate the ground. There was no one there employed to do what they need to do. Are you seeing this? Your soil is always indicative of your increase, your job, your employment, your purpose. Mm-hmm. So for some of those preachers in here that say that the only place that they're supposed to be preachers is in the church, no, it's wherever you are every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch this. In verse 6 says, springs would well up from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the soil and ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Then the Lord planted an orchard in the east in Eden. Watch this. It wasn't directly in Eden. It was off to the side of Eden in an orchard all by itself. And there he placed the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow from the soil. Every tree that was pleasing, watch this, every tree that was pleasing to look at and good for food. Did you see that? It was pleasing to what? Look at and good for food. Now, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil were in the middle of the orchard. All right. When I began to study this, I wondered why God would put in the order first that they were pleasant to look at. Do y'all question the Bible like that when you read it? When you read it, you should probably slow down just to question some of the things that God is saying. Understand? I would think that because I don't want to be put someplace just to look at a taco, make it trivial. Or, watch this. I'm not going to go to a barbecue and just stare at the barbecue pit and looking at that glazed chicken just ready to eat, but never. So my intention should always be to go and eat. Well, it is. I mean, but why did he say the trees were pleasant to look at before he said for food? Is it one of those, what is that game show where it has all those questions? What is it? Is it Jeopardy? Where they have the questions, you got to answer it with the question. Okay, so God created the trees. I'm going to get down here. I'm going to get in somebody else's faces.
Y'all fall asleep. He created the trees for you to look at. How many of you have gone outside and look at the trees? Don't be lying. Don't be lying. You don't be looking at trees. You know, you look at it when you see all those dead things on top of them. What I used to go and play with as a kid, chicharras. You know what chicharras are? Those locusts. I used to catch them. They'd be on the tree, hidden. I used to catch them and shake them. I used to shake them. Now, but what if it was a tree that already had fruit on it? All right? Now, I remember, Mom, you remember that tree that Memo used to have, my grandmother Memo, right? That, remember these little yellow things? What were they? Chinese plums. Y'all know what those are? Then when I said Chinese plum, did your mouth start to water already? Because, you know, it's kind of, you know, sour. We used to go and pick them, and then we used to eat from them, right? I never looked at the tree. I just went and grabbed the fruit. But I was a child. I didn't behold the beauty of what God had created so I could have an understanding why it was created. I just went directly for the fruit. Now, God gives this order for a reason. I want you to take the time to look at what I've made for you. Take the time to look at my creation and enjoy it. Don't look at just the fruit and never understand that the tree does more than just the fruit. Oh, this is good, this is good, this is good. Just get to the point, Pastor, because you know, we only have a little bit of time. What do trees do in the rainforest? Say it again.
Oxygen.
Do they do the same thing here?
Yes.
Oh, so they create oxygen. Do they create oxygen? What do they remove from the air?
I can't think of the word.
Carbon dioxide. So, which is poisonous to us. Watch this. So what he creates, he already puts a filtering system in the midst of what your fruit is producing. I am going to clear the air of where my blessing is. Don't just run to the blessing. Understand that the blessing that I have given you, I've also given that blessing to purify the air. Are you seeing this? Now, do we war against flesh and blood? I'm going to kind of move along quickly. Do we war against flesh and blood? No, we do not. We war not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and spirits and rulers where? In the heavenlies. Where are the heavenlies? It's the airwaves. So before you're going to deal with the demon, before you're going to deal with anything else in life, God has already prepared a way for you to be cleansed of that that's in the atmosphere. Oh, but they may miss this one. They may miss this one. Because if we don't have the trees to clean up the air, then you're not going to last long in the land. So we see now in Scripture that Satan comes into the garden. Satan wasn't on his belly. He was walking as a serpent. You ever seen a snake walk? I haven't. And if you have, you're preserved very well. Now, we see that he comes in, and what does he do to Eve? He tells Eve, surely he didn't mean if you eat the fruit, you would die. Watch this. He took what was already mandated order and messed with the order of God, and there's where she fell prey to moving things out of order. So in other words, don't have an understanding of your resource. Just take the fruit. Right? Are you understanding? Do I need to make it so we have a better understanding? We have an avocado tree. Avocado. Now, we've seen some avocados, did we not, over there in Africa that were so big. Huge. But he says, if you just take the fruit of it and not understand what I planted in the midst of you, you'll never understand the resources that I have given you for you to understand. Now, how many of you know that trees are used for many different things other than just fruit and purification? Yes? Yes? What you're sitting on has wood. Right? It's wood. It's in the back end. Here is the wood. The bottom is wood. So we can use for the resources that God gave us in the midst of the garden. And he planted us in that garden. He planted us in his center of his resource. The original intent for God, for his people, was to be blessed and to have resources coming to them. Are you seeing this? How many of you work 40 hours a week? Raise your hand, 40 hours. Is that all you work or do you work more? You work more? How many? Okay, I'm going to do it this way. How many of you work more than 40 hours? Stand up. Okay. Now, those of you that are standing working more than 40 hours, you get an overtime pay if you're on a pay scale, correct? Yes? If you're on a salary, no? Then why are you giving extra hours to someone else? What has to be done? Work's got to get done to make the owner rich. Well, right? Are you your owner? Or you work for somebody? Oh, so you work for yourself, but yet you're having to work more than 40 hours. Who works for themselves? How come he working more than 40 hours and you ain't? Oh, she said that because I got it like that. All right, listen. All of this is designed to get you so tired and not enjoy what God is intended for you to enjoy. So we feel like we have to work extra hard or even longer to make what is necessary for our needs, correct? Because if I don't work those extra, maybe 5, 6 hours, whatever it may be, it may not add up to what enough that I need. Yes? That's why you may work that. Or because we have to finish a project because the project is due. Yes? Okay, go ahead and sit down, those who work over 40, because I want to keep, you've been working too long. Working too long. Business owners in here, and you're going to stand up again. I'm sorry, brother. Okay, this time, Nikki, you're standing up. Nikki. Business owners, stand up. Business owners. Hey, yeah, I like that. Like that. They take note of business owners. Business owners, do you like working for yourself? Yes or no? Yes, 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 yes. Would it be easier for you to have employees work your business, but yet still make increase? Yes, right? Well, that's the whole purpose why we opened up a business, Pastor. I want to be successful, right? Now, what if your employees didn't put in the effort to bring the increase into your job? What would you do? Replace. So in other words, you would fire them because they didn't do what you asked of them to do. You would get rid of them in the place of your increase. Yes? General consensus? Okay, you may be seated. Now, so what did God do when he created the garden? He says, but there's nobody to cultivate it. So he made Adam. He gave him a job. The soil represents purpose. It represents the heart. Watch this. And it represents economy, your commerce. It represents what your wealth production comes from. Now, how many of you heard that parable that Jesus gave about the different types of soil? Have y'all heard that? Thank God we're in church today. Yeah. Okay. Now watch this. Watch this. It's in I don't know if I want to go there. Just hold on a second. Let me back up before we go into the soil portion of it. I want you to also understand that in John 10:10, go to John 10:10. I want you to see it first, and then I want you to, what I've been sharing with you about the garden, his original intent, God's original intent was for us to be in a place of prosperity, not poverty. So if we first understand what the enemy has come to do, then we can have a better understanding of how he's working in this system.
So in John 10:10 of the King James Version, it says this, the thief, who's the thief? Satan, devil, whatever you want to call him, Diablo, whatever. He said, a friend of mine who, his sons, he just went to be with the Lord. But his sons used to say, the devil, with the B, the devil did it, the devil. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I come that you may have life and that you may have it more. More what? Abundantly. Is abundantly just enough or abundantly more than enough? Yes. This gospel. This is gospel, right? Your word is gospel. Good news. Now, if I was to teach you today that the gospel is for you to only have just enough, would you receive it? I would hope not. That's not what God does. And that is God's nature is not that. God is here to make you become above and beyond what everything else is. He wants you to become blessed, live blessed and prosperous here on earth. What do you need your money in heaven for? You can't take it with you. So you need to store up where? Here? But the Bible says that he stores up all of your treasures in heaven. But the treasures in heaven are different than the treasures here on earth. Totally different. So if the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he's coming to kill the plan of God in your life. He's coming to destroy the work of God for your life. And he's coming to make you work harder. Much harder. Now, how many of you read that book, The Battlefield of the Mind? Have y'all read that one, Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind? It's a good book. Very good book. And that book will show you insights on how the enemy works within the mind system to keep you bound in certain areas of your life, certain issues. One of those issues has to do with rejection. And rejection is so bad, and you become so bitter, reject you, you look at everybody like they're out to get you. And before they get you, like how Medea, you say, you better go get before you get got. And before you get got, you better make sure you got them before they get you. So we're always looking to be one up on somebody else because we're afraid to get hurt. Now, God instituted in the very beginning in his creation for us to be blessed. Now, we all have heard the prosperity messages, have you not? You've heard prosperity messages, and people had that kind of taste in their mouth, like, oh, Lord, here we go again. They just want money. They just want money. So those of you that stood up for over 40 hours, you work for free, do you not? No? Thank you. She like, no. I ain't getting out of my bed for no. You're going to pay me. Now, those of you that are business owners, you went into business to lose money, yes? No? You went in it to gain, yes? To increase. Now, the trick of the enemy is to get in the mindset that you must work harder so that money can come. The truth of the matter is God didn't want you to work harder. He just wanted you to be smarter so that money would work for you. Money would work for you. Now, this is what he said about the very thing that he created, that there was no rain. It hadn't rained. There was no rivers, no nothing. But he said that he would cause that there would be a mist on the ground in the garden so that it would water the soil. Now, the water is always indicative of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in that can also be judgment, can be a cleansing. But in this particular case, in the garden, it was to bring an increase to the growth. Now, you read in Scripture in Genesis is that there's rivers, there's four rivers that flow out of the garden into the orchard. Okay? You can read that in there. Now, the reason for that is because it hadn't rained yet. Didn't need it to rain. God would supernaturally provide for what he created.
So that God is the creator of heaven and earth, and he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hill. He owns the grass. He owns the soil. He owns everything. And if he owns everything, and if he owns the soil, and if he owns the grass, and if he owns all of the things here on earth, you are the rightful owners to the heirs through him, through Jesus Christ. It's yours. Is it not? Yes? So the trick of the enemy is to come in to make you feel like you have got to work harder for it, and that you are not to enjoy what God has given you. Now, you are such a blessed woman of God. You're a woman of God that has so much faith, so much favor. But I want you to sell your house, sell your car, and just live on the streets and not knowing where the income is going to come in. Now, before you even answer me the Christian response, you're going to go home and you're going to converse with your husband what you heard. Your husband is going to look at you and say, you have lost your mind. We have worked hard for what we have. Yes? How many of you that worked over 40 hours are willing to give up your business, give up your job, and give everything up just to, for nothing, no purpose? I didn't tell you a purpose. With no purpose. But what if I was to interject this? Sell your house, sell your car, sell all your belongings for the work of the ministry. And God is going to bless you. Now, there's some purpose there, right? But would you do it without conversing with your husband? But I said, the Lord said. You need to listen to what the Lord is saying, not your husband. Well, some of y'all are like, uh-uh. But see, what happened with the prosperity message, it was partial truth. Partial truth. God is not going to have you work out of his mandated order of agreement, hear this, and that there be division in the home, because if there's division, God doesn't work in division. He works in agreement. All the enemy needed to do is to get one of his creations to agree with him so he could divide and change the mindset of those that he planted in the garden. Are you hearing this? So what the enemy was trying to do is to get covenant to be broken in the very beginning. If you can break covenant, now you're going to get fired from your job. What happened to Adam and Eve once they ate of the fruit? They got booted. They were out of the garden. They got kicked out of the garden, and no longer were they the ones that were going to receive the blessing. Now they had to cultivate it. And what got cursed? The soil got cursed. Yes? When the serpent was found out that he was the one that did that, what did God do? Cursed him from his legs to be on his belly eating what? Dirt. I want you to follow this. If God intended, for us to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth, then he was telling us, in the soil in which you were standing on, I have already given you the authority for increase. He says in his word, I've given you the power to obtain what? Wealth. What is that power? What is it? What's that power? Come on, y'all. Knowledge. Knowledge. But if we come in and sit in church wanting to hear just another great articulate message that tickles your ears, or, ooh, that was powerful, we ran around the church, well, you just did exercise. What did you do when you left the church? Oh, you don't know, I was in church and I was boohooing. We went through 10 boxes of tissue today. All you did is left here with a headache. What did God change in your mind because of the message? Because I can cry in the presence of the Lord because I love him. I've been a big crybaby the past couple of days. I was watching Soul Surfer. You remember that movie Soul Surfer? When she gets attacked by a shark and she continues. I'm boohooing like a baby. Why am I crying? I don't know. Thank God nobody was home, just me and my dog. I was crying over the movie. I don't surf. And I'm, Lionel, I'm crying at this movie. And I was, guys,
it's a chick flick.
There was no chick with me. Just me. And I'm just clicking to the channel and I see, oh, that's a good movie. I'm so happy she made it to the end. She became a surfer. Did something change inside of me because I was crying? No, I just watched an emotional movie. If we just have emotions in church and don't make a change and renew the mind and change the mindset, all it is emotional. Hey, hallelujah. We've got to put application and use what God has given us and put it to use. I'm going to ask this question. When it was asked to me, I thought I knew the answer. I thought I knew. I was like, I'm going to answer this one. Where does God sit in church? Raise your hand if you know it. Say it. Everywhere. No. Somebody else. He's an ass. Yes, but no. Yes and no. He's in us. Yes, he is. But no, that's not where he sits in church. Just guess. Just guess. Okay. Heart in us. On the throne. No, that's in heaven. You're going to say it too, right? I thought the same thing. I said, he sits on the throne, the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. You know, I gave all that. And no. Wrong answer. I said, I'm going to show you in the Word. And then when I read it, I was like, oh, wow. Watch this. I love it. Go to Mark 12. Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 12, verse 41. And when you have it, say amen. And who has it? Raise your hand so I can get you to read it out. All right, Kelly, read it out.
And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much.
Where did he sit? Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. Where does he sit? What does he say he's doing? Lionel, can you do how you normally do when you put the tithes in the offering basket? How you do it, Lionel? How you do it? No. Let's back up, brother. You better back up. That's not how Lionel does it. That's how everybody else does. How does Lionel do it when it's time for offering? Woo! I didn't hear you. What was that? Woo! Oh, it's celebratory. Yeah, celebratory. He's giving. Why would God sit across from the offering watching how people put their offering in the treasury? Why? Why would Jesus sit there? See, all of y'all like, to see if you're really giving the 10% and counting it to the penny. Why would Jesus sit in the middle of a service in the church when he's the head of the church? You know those Christian ones you were about to start answering? The right hand of God. Oh, he's the head of the church. Oh, he's in us. He's around us. He's everywhere. He's sitting right there watching. I'm watching where your heart is. I'm watching where your heart is. Watch this. Because if I ask you for money, I have a friend of my dad's used to say, man, you got to take, my dad used to tell him, you better take those fishing hooks out of your pocket. Did you go fishing this weekend? He goes, why? Because every time you reach in your pocket, you don't go too deep. Y'all didn't get that one? Because you get poked in it so you don't have to get that money out. So what he was, I'm going to sit in the service. What is a church service for? Is it for you? Is it for you? No, it's not. It's for Jesus. We're to come and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was established for the time of worship unto Him. It was the time when we would come to Him, and we would never enter into the temple without an offering. Can I just tell it, Benny, like I need to tell it? Because some folks get so used to, wait a minute. Where's Lynn? I didn't bring my wine. Pastor, I know you're sweating up, so I brought a handkerchief for you. So that's why God instituted the text to give. Did I get it? Because everybody, watch this. Everybody in here have a phone, raise it up. Everybody in here have a phone. Who doesn't have a phone? Look, someone has two of them. Here's one from my text. Here's from my text to give. We're tithe. Here's one from my offering. Watch. So watch this. Now Jesus, of course, now we're looking symbolically that he's looking at the way that you give unto the church, into the temple. Yes? So you would think Jesus would be up here with the preachers. Preach, Pastor Marty, preach. You're preaching good. Thank you, Jesus. You're my helper in time of need. Right? Or we think this, that Jesus is sitting right behind Sylvia giving a revelation. Revelation. No, he's sitting right in front. I want to see my people's heart. Because where their heart is, so is their treasure. And if their heart isn't in the temple of God, in the things of God, in the kingdom of God, the enemy has stolen their treasures. Oh, we don't like the fact that he's watching your seed. Well, y'all better hear this. If he's watching your seed, he's watching it for your increase. He's watching it for your increase. But in the manner in which you bring it is determined how you're going to receive it. I remember the first time Lionel came. He said, Pastor, it's offering time. Y'all remember? Remember? It's time for offering. He hit Lionel on the back. Woo! Time for offering. Why? Because you celebrate the increase. You celebrate the increase. The enemy has stolen your joy in your giving. He has stolen it. He's also stolen your right to the inheritance that God has laid up for you here on earth by way of turning things out of order. So the increase is the fruit of your labor. So what was Jesus doing in the temple? Watching your fruit increase. Watching your fruit increase. Why? Because it came from a tree. It came from something that he said, behold the beauty. Behold the beauty in what I created. I created for you an opportunity to obtain wealth. And that power is my word. My power is the understanding of your seed. And if you don't understand the power of your seed, you'll never see the increase. You'll stay working over the 40. Some of y'all work in here about 45, 50 hours. And if you work in the food industry, you may be pushing 55 to 60 hours. I know it because we've done it. And if you're working for yourself, even though you got qualified people to do the job, you're taking the job home with you in your mind. You're taking the burden with you home on your heart. I hope they're doing what they're supposed to do. I hope everything goes good. I hope everything is working right. And I hope that nothing goes wrong in the workplace. Are you really enjoying and beholding the beauty of what God created for you? No, you're stressed and you're worrying. He has stolen your joy. He has stolen your joy. He has killed the provision in your life. Because what you release cheerfully, willingly, is where the increase is. How many believe in tithing? 10%. You're giving the 10% to God, yes? Are you giving or is it already his? It's already his. It's his. Can I see your phone? Can I see your phone? This is my Aunt Baya's phone. I just gave to her a phone. Did I not? No, I gave her her phone. I gave back to her what was already hers. The tithe, you better hear this. The tithe that you give is his. Woo! There he is. I feel him. He's moving. He's moving. Yeah. I'm not going to ask you for money. And matter of fact, and if you didn't want to give, I'll allow you to come take it back. I'll allow you to come take it back. Here's the reason why. Because if you don't give with a cheerful heart and you don't give out of love and compassion to Jesus, all you're doing is just throwing money away. That's all you're doing. But if you truly give because you love God and adore God for what he's already given you on the 90, you should be coming down like rhinos. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you that you gave me what I have. So I'm giving back to you what's rightfully already yours. Now, yes, question. On the tithe, the 10. The tithe is the Lord's. Now, what about the offering? What about the offering? Is the offering included in the tithe? Is the offering separate from the tithe? Let me do this again. Is it separate from the tithe? It is separate. Why is God watching the offering basket in the service during the time of giving? You think God doesn't know already how your heart is? You think God doesn't already know how much you're giving? He wants to see in the manner in which you're giving it. He wants to know that the soil in which he created and breathed his life into you, is still understanding the benefit and the power of the very wealth that he's already given to you in the process of you being created. So he's watching his creation. He's watching his seed fulfill the commandment that he gave him. If you obey my commands and my statutes, you shall be blessed. Now, prosperity messages are all great if you stay within the context of the word. Right? Stay within the context of what? The word. Oh, Lord. How many tribes are there of Israel? There's 12. How many of those tribes got their land? How many? 11. Which tribe did not get a parcel of land? The Levites. That's the priesthood. I'm going to stand out of the way of the stones coming my way. But that means your preachers, your pastors didn't get a portion of land. It was the responsibility of the people of God, the tribes of God, to bring their whole tithe into the storehouse so that there would be enough meat for the priesthood. See, that's why I know God. He told me to eat food. Now watch this. Your tithe was for the priesthood. Your offerings was for the house. If you want to see a breakthrough in your business, your job, your marriage, or for your children, your tithe isn't going to do it. It is your offering, your sacrificial offering that will break things open for your life. Oh, I told you I felt that spirit. It is your sacrificial seed that breaks things open for you. It is your sacrificial seed that will begin to open up portals of heaven for you. Man. If I can preach this to my wife, when I tell you that God is removing the lid, is removing the lid off the body of Christ. Why? And I said this in the prophetic class. God is getting ready to pop off what has been put on so that the body of Christ can step in to its rightful inheritance. What is taking place? I'm removing the lid of the lie that the enemy has put on your life, that it's only your tithe that is necessary. Get this off. I'm burning up. I'm going to say this to you. We tithe the tithe, and then we bless people and ministries above and beyond what our tithe is. I'm just telling you about us, because we know the principle of giving. When you give with a willing and cheerful heart, He is sitting before and watching you say, that is my seed. It's producing after its kind. It's breaking and reversing the curse that the enemy came into your area of prosperity. You have got to understand, I'm breaking off this lid that is keeping you from coming into your overflow. Oh my God. Oh, you better hear this. When the enemy came into the garden, do you think he was so worried about Adam and Eve? He don't care about you. He wants to get back into his place that he was fired from. He wants to get back into that place of authority, which he lost because of bitterness. You better hear this. What is taking place in society today? Let me just say this. We have a generation. A generation is not defined by an age. We have a generation right now that feels that they're entitled to anything they want when they want it. I want an iPhone 28 right now. I'm sure it'll get there because that's all they do is keep making things better. Have you seen the progression of phones? We went from the... No. We went from those real big ones. Remember the one, it was a case, you had to carry it. You had to pull it from the case and talk on it like this, but you couldn't leave the case. And then it went to that real big one, the hard one with that, and you can only press the buttons on it. And then from there, it started going into those flip phones. Remember those slide phones? Then the kick phone that went sideways like this so you could start texting. Okay, we see all this evolvement, right? It's evolving. Why is it that the church doesn't evolve with the Word of God? How come they're not getting upgraded to the things that God is doing now, but they're still caught up in the things of the past? Oh, I want one of those flip phones again. God says, you don't understand, what I have for you is better than what you used to having. But you're so caught up in your traditions and the way you do things that you don't want to let go of it because you're afraid of what's ahead of you. I'm trying to get to you the upgrade in your life that is necessary and begin to transition and evolve with the Word to see that God is doing a new thing, but the new thing, He will not depart from His principles. He won't, because then that will make God a liar. How many of you believe that the tithe is instituted for the Old Testament? Be honest with yourself. If that's in your heart, be honest with yourself. I'm not going to ridicule you. We know that it's in the Old Testament. Many would say that's an Old Testament law on tithing. In the New Testament, we don't have to. That gets me every single time. So it's okay to murder now, right? It's okay now. Oh, but we want to pick and choose what will work for us in the New Testament, but in the Old, it doesn't. The Old Testament is a foreshadow, a type and foreshadow of what is to come in the New Testament. The writers of the New Testament, the only thing they had to go by was the Old Testament. They didn't know that the letters that they were writing were going to become a New Testament that made a new covenant. They were just writing what they witnessed, what they saw, and what they kept in their hearts. The tithing. That's God's. The offerings is yours. What you do with your offerings will determine what's going to take place in your life. They don't want to hear it this way. Okay, I'm just going to watch this. Watch this. Abram was a righteous man because of what? Because of what? His faith. His faith in God. And God tested him with what? His son. His seed. He tested him with his seed. Go and sacrifice your seed. Y'all don't want to hear it this way. Give your son to me, even though you don't know what he's doing. Even though you don't know if he's even going to be alive next month. Give your son to me. You don't know what the enemy is doing in his life, but don't worry. I'm watching your seed. I'm watching your seed. I'm sitting across from him and I'm watching his seed. Do not forget that even the, oh my God, today, even the mother that let go Moses in the ark that was going down the Nile, that she went and went and went and followed the seed. And then even the sister, hey, Karabose, even the sister went and followed all the way through, watching the seed going into the world system, so that in that system there would be a deliverer that would bring the people out of bondage from that system of being slaves to working hard from a taskmaster. Oh, this is going to liberate some of you. You're going to see this, Nikki. You're going to see it, like I said. You're going to get contracts that will come from government agencies. Government agencies. And when that comes across your email, sir, and I don't know how y'all do your business, all you got to do is print it out and sign it. Watch and see what God's going to do. Your DMB has already been registered. Your DMB is already being looked at. Watch what God is getting ready to do for y'all. Watch what he's about to do. He's watching his seed go into a system. And this system in Egypt was there to be a taskmaster for the people of God. No wonder why Jesus said, I'm going to sit right across that offering basket. Because when my people get my principle and they get my precepts right, they're going to begin to do what I've instituted in their life to begin with. And I'm going to start breaking some things off of them. But I'm going to watch where their heart is. I'm going to watch where their heart is. I'm going to watch as they come and bring their offerings to me. I'm going to watch and see that their soil that's in their heart is no longer stony, no longer fallow, but it's pliable. It's fertile. And when they put to use this word, and not just going to church for an emotion, they're going for the church because they want to worship Jesus. And they want to do the things that God has instituted for their life so that they can become blessed. There's nothing wrong with you being blessed. And the blessing is not just wealth. It's good health. When Jesus went, oh Lord, when Jesus was hung on a tree, what does they say in Galatians? That them be accursed, be hung on a tree. Are you hearing this? When he was hung on a tree, he reversed the curse of sickness, health, death, and the grave. He reversed the curse. Why a tree? Because he instituted in the very beginning a way of escape before it ever got to Golgotha. He says, I'm going to put right now in my creation a way out of what's about to take place. Are you hearing this? Why a tree? Incidentally, what was the Ark of the Covenant made of? Wood. A tree. Wood represents humanity. And sometimes you're going to get cut down, stripped, beaten in order to reach humanity. It doesn't feel good when you're going through a transition. It doesn't feel like you're going to make it out. Sometimes it feels like they're putting so much on you that you feel like, just leave me here so I can die. But the reality is, he says, I'm bringing you out of this because your story is going to be told. What is that story? It is your life and it is your testimony of everything you've been through will begin to show how good God is. How good God is. Wait a minute, I've been going through so much stuff, but you ain't there now. Or if you are there now, you just came from another storm somewhere back and you came out of that one. Okay, you're in here. I feel you. I've been in this for a long minute. Why does it seem like things ain't working? I've been sowing seed. I've been sacrificing. I've been praying. I've been fasting. And it seems like my seed isn't producing. You been there? Huh? Seems like the attacks come even harder. Let me remind you of Joseph. Before he became prime minister, he was sold, first thrown into a pit by his own brothers, sold into slavery by his own brothers, taken into Egypt. Watch this. You don't know the way you're going to get to your palace, but you're getting there. And once you get there, you may not understand how long you're going to be in that jail before you get to that place of authority. Because he's going to remove from you your old ways. He's got to work in the mind so he can change the eyes, your sight, and what you behold. Because if you don't change your mind and change your vision, you'll always walk in division. You'll walk with your vision and God's vision. I want to do my will and God's will. He said, I would that you'd be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. For I will spew you, vomit you out of my mouth. Why? Because he wants everybody committed. Did I say holy? No, committed. Did I say perfect? No, I said committed. You ain't going to be perfect. You're going to mess up more trying to do the things of God. You're going to mess up so bad, you're going to think your mouth has canceled all of your blessings. That's the trick of the enemy. When it's hard, it's because you, the seed itself, is dying to self. And the more you die to self, his will, his purpose, and his provision begins to move for you. It's when we fight against ourself that makes it so hard. If you're fighting against the things of God, you'll know it because you have no peace. The more you walk in his perfect will, you'll find the perfect peace. The perfect peace. Even in the storm. Got to understand that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal from you the rightful purpose. You are the soil. You are his creation. And in that comes everything that he has designed in this system is to produce. We came from soil, and when we leave, our purpose is over, and we go to soil again. Do we not? Yes. Some of us leave this life with never fulfilling our purpose, never understanding our call. We just taken the treasure that God has given us and laid it to rest. It is better for you to put into use what God has given you while you're here. Abram had the understanding by faith. I'm just going to do as you command, even when it doesn't make sense. I wish, just for humor, that Sarah would have written a portion of that story herself about Abraham taking Isaac to sacrifice. How would the story have read then? It'd have been totally different. Because when she doubted, when she doubted within herself, she laughed within herself because she doubted the angels that came to speak to her about her future. God has spoken to you prophetic words through his word, through your prayer time, and even through a prophetic word. Don't quit midstream. Don't laugh within. Just follow his plan. It's not easy when they've got to be put on the altar. He wasn't a little boy. Isaac was a grown man. And he laid his own life down because of faith. Faith is what? Faith now is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
But faith is now. Your faith must be tied into his word. Your faith must be tied into his command so that you can begin to move when? Now. What pleases God more? Sacrifice or obedience? That's faith now. Faith now. When God tells you to go buy groceries for someone that is standing in line, don't hesitate. Do it. If God is telling you, if you've got this kind of money, amen. Because if he can trust you with the 200, he can trust you with the 2,000. If he can trust you with the 2,000, he can trust you with the 200,000. If he can trust you with that, it's going to increase as you increase faith by faith and glory to glory. The more you trust him, the more you prove to him that it's not about what's in my hand. It's what's in here that counts even more, which is you, God. There's where I accepted you and whatever you command me to do. If I drive off the parking lot with a brand new truck and you say, give it to Lionel, then Lionel's getting a brand new truck. And I'm not going to question it. I'm going to trust God. If I go and buy my wife a brand new house and he says, it's not for you, it's for a family I'm bringing to you. And don't worry, I've got something for you. I'm not going to question it because I first have to know that I have opened my house for many people. I've had my wife and I have people living in our house ever since we've gotten married. Other people. Why? Because we understand to bring shelter to someone, God will always provide shelter for us. Whoo, you better hear this. Some of the things that you're doing right now for other people has been your sacrifice. It has been your seed. It's been given. But now God is going to require of you to do something different, something you haven't done before. Whatever it is, obey his command. Amen. You may be sitting next to somebody that is about to unlock for you a miracle and a breakthrough by way of what God is speaking for you to do for them. Are you hearing me? Look to your neighbor and say, you're my resource. You're my resource. Come on. Come on. You're my resource. Watch. Watch. This is going to go against your religious mindset. God is my source. And he uses man to get it to you. Because the first thing that I ask you is, where does God sit in the service? We said, within. He is within. Look to Jesus next to you. Look to Jesus next to you. Look at him. Look at him. Look at her. Look at her. Look at him. That's Jesus. You are Jesus. You are beholding the beauty and the splendor of God Almighty. You are wonderfully and beautifully made in his image. What the enemy meant for evil, God has turned it for your good. Maybe it may feel like it doesn't seem like it's right, doesn't seem like it's going to turn. But I believe the word of God to be true. I believe that God has a plan for you, sure. And I know that he's got something great for you. And I know that I'm looking at the face of Jesus when I look at you. Because the way he sees you is the way he sees himself. Perfect and wonderfully made. Come on, look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at a brand new season coming your way. I'm looking at a whole list of friends that are coming to you that are going to understand what you go through, are going to understand what you've been through, and know where you're going. There's going to be a people that are going to stand with you and not oppose you, but they'll stand with you. Beloved, be careful what you're about to stand up against. Just stand with Jesus. The more you stand with Jesus, the more victories you will have in your life. The more victories you will have. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't you quit. Because it don't matter what it looks like, Jacoby. It don't matter what it's felt like. It doesn't matter what you've been through. Even the storm had a tendency to keep others in the boat. But you said, I'm stepping out by faith. I'm stepping out by faith because I sense the presence of God. And I'm going to step and I'm going to keep on stepping. And I'm walking towards Jesus. I'm going to behold his hand even in the midst of the storm. I'm going to behold his face in the midst of all this wind, all this rain. And when all the waves come a crashing down, I'm going to keep on putting my hand towards Jesus. Because he's doing something for you, Jacoby. Kobe, he's doing it. Don't you quit because he's watching the seed that he planted inside of you. And you're going to see the harvest of it. You're going to feel it. You're going to understand that I'm doing something fresh in you.
He's watching you, man. He's watching you. He's watching everything that's been going on all around you. He's watching your seed that has come from your loin. He says, I'm not only going to put my hand on them, I'm only going to hold them in my arms. I'm going to speak of the blessing over their life. And my words will not return void unto me, son. What I've spoken unto you is going to come into full fruition. Trust in this and know that I'm watching my seed, because I sit and I look at the offering basket, which is you yourself. You are receiving my word. You're receiving the goodness of God. I'm watching you because your heart has been made pliable to the seasons of life. And now you're receiving what God is saying. And I'm watching your seed for it to increase and to come into its fullness. I'm keeping the hand of the enemy away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear this. Oh, you better hear this. You better hear this. Not only is the family being restored, not only is the family coming together, but I'm breaking off that very link that has caused division, which has come by way of illegal substances that has caused the people to desire things that are not of me. And I'm breaking the cord. I'm severing that cord of escapism right now in the name of Jesus. I'm bringing a true peace right now into the family. And you will see that not only am I going to bring a healing and a deliverance, I'm bringing unity to the family. Hear this by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of the living God. So many things are happening. There's a whole different light about you, Matthew. A whole different light about you. When you walked in, I saw it. Whole different light. You said yes. You said yes, and you said no more. You said it right. We've been having church up in a classroom. In an upper room. And in that upper room, we've been seeing so many things come forth. Oh, watch this, watch this. We started talking about Jacob and Laban not wanting to give what was rightfully Jacob's. And then he told him, God told him, go and separate the cattle, go and separate the sheep from the spotted, the dark colored ones, and the old ones, and he separated them, and then he said, get the wood and strip it and put it in the trough. And what comes out of this trough in the time that the animals are feeding and drinking will begin to produce the spotted, the striped, my God, will begin to produce for you the uncommon, the rejected, and those that have been disconnected from the others. But I'm going to increase them before your taskmaster that has gone to the mediums to ask of you to stay even longer. Y'all better hear this. What is about to transpire in the body of Christ is those medium soothsayers and all those new age people that have been going seeking another God. They're about to see the people of God come into their fullness and come into their inheritance and come back from a curse of poverty and go in walking into the very blessing of God for increase. And they're going to say, I know it's because your God has been good to you that you serve the living God. I don't want you to leave because increase has come to me because of you. Oh, y'all better hear this. We're in the age now in the church where the church will be a safe haven to go to. How does the church become a safe haven? By renewing of the mind of the people. So that they no longer look at the institution as a system that the enemy works in, but looks at it as a way that God can get to them the blessing that they're in need of. We don't need to be going and looking for Social Security. We don't need to be looking for all kinds of handout from the government. The church is a government authority by the people of God, because of God, to be a blessing for the people and the people of God. And if we could put the church back into its position, back into its original state, we would have the resources flowing from the church into the world system. We wouldn't have to be dependent on the government. This government of God will stand forever and never fail. There is a people that are coming up and they're standing tall and standing strong. They're not going to look weak or feeble, but they're going to look blessed. Woo! Businesses are about to increase. New jobs are about to be opened. New territories are about to be released. You better hear this by the prophetic word of God. I know what I sense. I'm going to just say it this way. There has been an increase in divorce in the church and in the world because it's been breaking covenant. People getting pregnant out of wedlock because it breaks God's covenant. But I hear the Spirit of God saying, what the enemy meant for evil, I'm turning it for your good. Because what I'm about to institute will be the rising of the waters. Watch this, my God. The rising of the waters coming over the east and the west coast. And there will be the rising that will come through the Gulf and will begin to go across the land and will begin to cleanse the land of all of its inhabitants that were previously being the taskmaster to everyone that was working. Hear this, my God. And you will see that the increase in the covenant, people getting married, people getting pregnant within the ramifications of the Word of God, they will begin to walk in their divine authority because of divine covenant and because of divine birth. You will see that I'm bringing a new birth into the church. There will be multiple births. There will be multiple weddings. There will be things of multiple taking place because we're getting ready to see the ark of God begin to move in an unprecedented way. And you will see God begin to turn the church back onto its feet once again. And it will stand firm and stand tall. I am tipping the scales on your favor, says the Spirit of God. And because you keep my principles and you keep my commandments, watch what I will do with favor upon the church and upon the people and their homes. I will only bless those, my God, where their heart is willing to bless others. I hope you hear this and I hope you hear the word of the Lord. I hope you hear the word of the Lord. Because the same tree that was used to get us kicked out of the garden and get us to become very sinful by nature is the same tree that came that redeemed us in the end. Jesus. Jesus was hung on a tree to reverse the curse. You're no longer under the curse of the law. You've been loosed into your prophetic destiny to be blessed, healed, walk in healing and wholeness, receive your blessing and your inheritance now here on earth, walk in that fullness, let Jesus see you carry that seed and begin to enjoy and behold the beauty and his splendor, because what he created, he rested in, and he looked over his creation, he rested, and he said, it is good. Hear this, people of God. Things that the enemy's been using in these systems are going to turn around. They're going to turn around. He uses the body of Christ to do it. Don't come for an emotion. Don't come for another prophetic word. Come to worship the King. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Stand to your feet.